Welcome to the pavement. I'm Sam Slavic.
Well, I know the cops are looking for me. I'm in a run.
Went to his house for the first time, and I seen he had a little altar right there for mom.
So she started smoking a cigarette, but the trick is she didn't drop the ashes. She kept smoking.
I was already prepared. I had a gun with me. I didn't think this girl was gonna call the police, you know, because they're drug dealers, you know?
Carlos disrespected a dark saint. It set in motion a chain of events that he couldn't have foreseen. Now he's on the run. Everything he worked for is in jeopardy. Any moment could be the last time that he sees his family or home for a long time. This is San Simon's revenge. Carlos is cocooning, the sound resonating inside the pupil casing of his mind is the dull thud of shock. He's been here before. When he was a kid, now 19, the handsome young undocumented Mexican-American is dodging bullets and beat cops again, trying to find a moment's rest while he gets his bearings before taking flight again. Last night I had a dream, he says as he walks the streets of Chinatown at dusk. I was going on a ride somewhere, but not knowing where. I saw my uncle's face, then I was in a place where I seen the earth and a big ass hole in the earth. In the dream, there was a long hallway with a bright light at the end. Carlos knew that a storm was brewing when a friend took him to see a medium in the projects in East LA a few weeks ago. She told his fate by reading cigarette ashes. When she said he was being pursued by an aggressive spirit that he'd provoked, he knew exactly what she was talking about. Things have been going wrong for the last 3 months. He traced his bad luck back to the day he visited a friend's apartment where there was an altar to San Simon.
Went to this like apartment project and went to this lady, this Mexican lady. She started telling me, looking at me like, oh yes. You know, I told her what happened with San Simon, that I threw a dollar. She was like, oh nah, that's bad, man, you know?
San Simon, the dark saint in a black suit, red tie, wide-brimmed hat and mustache, is an incarnation of the pre-Columbian Mayan god of the underworld, Mam. The Ancient One, later known as Maximon, the opener of the way, usually seen seated at a crossroads. He's the champion of the hopeless.
It's a santo. San Simon, he likes, you know, he likes money, he likes cigarettes. He had all that in him. So I had my last dollar in my pocket and I was like, man, I was thinking in my head, shoot, you know, I need money right now and I know he's a good saint. And I just threw the dollar at the altar without my friend's permission.
Later, I told my friend, and he said, hey man, the thing you did there was wrong. That's a really jealous santo. I started having bad vibrations, so I went to get a limpia, a spiritual cleaning. They clean you up and they take the bad vibes out of you. The medium gave Carlos a limpia and warned him to avoid two females in his neighborhood, or the cops would come and raid his house, and he'd go to jail for a long time. When Carlos got home later that day, the real trouble started. His little sister had gone to Mexico for her quinceañera, but things had gone south and they needed to get $1,500 for a coyote to bring her back from Tijuana. Carlos, the oldest male in the family, needed to come up with the cash, but he'd spent all the money he made working construction on movies and dinners with his girl.
My little sister, baby sister, was in Mexico. She went over to do her 15s. My family promised, you know, they were gonna help her out to bring her back, you know, pay for the coyote to bring her across, you know, across the United States again. And but when the time came for her to come back, and you know, my family kind of backed up on the economic situation.
Carlos's cell rang as his mom finished breaking the bad news. A girl from his neighborhood was looking for some crystal. Carlos hadn't done that for years, but all she asked of him was to arrange a pickup. She'd pay him $500. Then Carlos had an idea. I can rob your connection, take her dope, take her money. She liked the idea and they agreed that he would keep the money and she'd get the drugs. He made the call and set up the meet. Two cholos would show up on a street just around the corner in a few hours. Carlos grew up in the juvenile justice system. He'd seen the inside of practically every probation camp and juvie hall in LA and didn't have any plans to continue the trend as an adult. He'd been working a straight job and hadn't been in trouble for more than a year, but this was different. This was his little sister. By 10 p.m. on Friday night, a couple of parties were underway in the neighborhood. Carlos could hear the music through the walls of his apartment on a long block deep in East L.A. as he stuffed his .38 into his waistband. Carlos walked around the corner and spotted the cholas. He got in the car and asked for a $40 sack. When she was reaching for her little bag, I went and pulled out my gun and I told her to give me the money and the dope. He took about $2,000 in cash and $200 worth of drugs and split. He ran to his friend's apartment. I told my friend, let's get some beer or something and chillax. Then I realized that I'd made the biggest mistake ever. He dropped his wallet in the car when he pulled his gun.
I didn't think these girls were gonna call the police, you know, because they're drug dealers, you know?
But they did. The cop showed up barking his name from the PA and shining lights in the apartment where his mom and brother were. He watched from the apartment next door. Everything I worked for in my life is just over, he says. If caught, Carlos faces prison or deportation or both. He's made his amends to San Simon, but things were already set in motion. Everything's played out just like she, the medium, had told me, he says. The cops went to my house. It had to do with these two drug dealer bitches that I robbed. In the past, Carlos was guided exclusively by Quetzalcoatl, the patron god of the Aztec priesthood. But now, he's expanded his cosmovision and is now working with animal spirits. He uses a medicine card deck to connect to the animals in his totem. There's an energy that reflects in every animal, he explains. My animal protectors represent every aspect of my life. The snake represents the cycle of life. Snake changes the skin to bring a new cycle of life. The lizard, she's the one in charge of all the dreams that represent the future. You gotta concentrate and put together the things that you dream, and they'll send you a message. The owl is the night animal. When everybody's asleep, he's the one silently looking for prey. That animal is telling me not to be afraid of the dark, because it's just a cycle, like the day and the night, nothing to be worried about. You have to break those fears that you have in you and just go for it, see what's there for you. Carlos has been having precognitive dreams since he was a child. He was shot by rival gangsters a total of 5 times on 2 separate occasions by age 15. He says each incident was preceded by a vivid dream that predicted the event.
The lizard, she's the one in charge of all these dreams, which represent the future, because that's like the gate to another dimension, which is the future.
It's a very special animal, the lizard, he says. The sun cuts sharp shadows in the early afternoon on a side street near Chinatown as Carlos goes to meet up with his mother. She holds back the tears as she hugs him. Any moment could be the last she sees him for years. She gives him what she has to offer, a little cash, some clean clothes, a few words, and love. Carlos is going to prison. He's always been going to prison. Whether it's this time or the next, his future is preordained. The circumstances of his life crushed him into a brown diamond that fits perfectly into a cell.
Something more out there. He's been waiting for me to call it. And I guess it really got my attention this time. And you know, we've been waiting for you for a long time and you haven't paid attention to us until now.
Carlos is on the run. His movements are covert, timed for avoidance. It's not that different from how he normally navigates. He's an undocumented immigrant on the pavement in Los Angeles. Pigment Podcast Series is produced by Chris Joyner and Sam Slavic in Venice, California. Music, engineering, and production by Chris Joyner. Pavement is a transmedia series in print and on the web at laweekly.com.